The 519th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And next, we're brought to you by Champs. Run your own March Madness pool and enter Champs' free bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs to enter today. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Hall of Fame Bets is the research betting platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN for 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Hi, ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 519 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This episode is going out to one of Gumby's favorite fighters, Uriah Faber, who's coming out of retirement.
Oh, he's back.
He's fighting on, yeah, he's fighting the main event of his own promotion, Uriah Faber's A1 Combat in May, I believe. So someone has to fight the boss. That's going to be interesting, fighting the boss of the promotion. Yeah, interesting to see who ends up stepping up and taking that fight. So this goes out to Uriah Faber. Thank you for coming to the show. We're not talking about A1 Combat today. We have talked about it in the past. We may talk about it again in the future. Who's to say? No, this is the second part of our UFC 299, O'Malley versus Vera 2 breakdown. So this is O'Malley versus Vera 2, part 2. We're going to give you all the main card picks here and our locks, dogs, props, parlays. This week, we're going to hit at least one of those, hopefully. Last week, it was a train whack. Usually, it's not that bad. So let's just jump into it right away. We did 9 fights yesterday, all the prelim fights. If you haven't heard that, go back to yesterday's episode. Today, we're going to get through all 5 fights. Not by myself, of course. I will bring in my co-host, Mr. Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
You almost introduced Song Yadong before you introduced me. That was kind of interesting.
Almost introduced Song Yadong. Not quite. I'm never going to introduce Song Yadong over you, Gumby. Gumby over Song Yadong every time. Thoughts on the main card, Gumby? Thoughts on the, how about the lines of the main card? We know the main card's banging, but how about the betting lines?
The two up-and-comers who wound up being wild favorites over the Wiley veterans surprised the hell out of me. We'll get to the breakdowns of those fights, but I really did think Burns and Poirier were going to be favorites. And when they posted as dogs, I was like, oh, that's going to get bet closer. And it's, I mean, both of them have hightailed it in opposite directions from what I thought. Yeah. So that one continues to surprise me. Like, I'm still blown away by that one. But yeah, everything else is right about what I was expecting it to be.
Yeah. I don't get the Poirier one at all. And I don't get why it's going in the opposite direction. He's one of those common names that people, like a Diaz brother, that people you would think would be betting leading up to the fight. Maybe it's going to change over the next couple of days, but we haven't seen any signs that
it's moved almost 100 at this point, though. It's the crazy thing, right? Because we posted it like -130, -120 for Benoit Saint Denis, and what are we seeing now? -220. You know, yeah. that's huge movement. That's some of the biggest movement I've seen on a main card in some time.
Poirier opened as a favorite too.
Did he really?
Yeah, he opened at -175, and then like right away.
That had to have been real quick. Yeah.
Immediately he was up in the pluses, like within a few hours. I think he was up to +114, and then he's gone higher ever since. And then over the past week or so, he's gone from like 140 to like 170, 180. So I don't get it.
Yeah, I think those -175 on Poirier lines have to be some of those like feeler books that like have, you know, really low limits and stuff like that, trying to get a sense of what the line was and the market was. But even then, like even if you're saying the post is, you know, +115 for Poirier, and now we're seeing him, you know, like you said, +180 in some places, like that's a wild move, especially for a guy with name value.
Yeah, I don't get it, but hey. Maybe we'll take it. Maybe we won't take it. We'll see when we get to that pick. Gumby wants me to talk about Song Yadong. So why don't we just jump right into it and talk about Song Yadong, right?
Yeah, I love talking about Yadong.
Yadong, he does. He's always thinking about our Yadongs. All right, bantamweights, Piotr Jan Song Yadong. I'm going to tell you about Song first. The Kung Fu Kid. As if it, Song Yadong isn't a good enough name. He's got an even better nickname, perhaps. 21-7-1 with one no contest. 9 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 10-2-1 in the UFC. 2-0 over his last two. 5-1 over his last 6. He's fight at featherweight and lightweight. 2013 Pro MMA debut. An inch of height. 4 years younger than Yan. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.65 strikes per minute. Even money on Yadong plus 100. Piotr Yang, Yan, no mercy. 16-5, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. Never been finished in a fight. 8-4 in the UFC. Used to be the champion of the world. However, he's lost 3 straight fights and only won 1 of his last 5. He's not fought since last March, so he's been out for a year. He's not won since October 2021, which is a crazy thing to say about this man. Was a regional champion, 2014 Pro MMA debut. Better striking stats and more active landing strikes than Song. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.77 strikes per minute, minus 115. All right, I'll kick off the main card. Give me the plus money. Give me Song here. I can't trust Piotr Jan at this point, despite he's only lost to the top of the heap in the division, but the fact is he is losing a lot consistently. Who knows where his mental state is at this point. And Song continues to improve, and he is still a young fighter that continues to improve. So yeah, I think he is worth a stab at even money here. So I'm not buying any Piotr Jan stock at this point.
Yeah, and I will. So I'm with you. I'm taking Song Yadong. And I think the big piece for me, too, is the way that we're seeing Piotr Jan lose. Because obviously we can excuse losses to the types of guys he's losing to, right? Like, it's not like he's out there losing to bums. Some people might argue he even beat Sean O'Malley in that fight. But the Merab Dvalishvili fight, for me, is a big piece. Because it wasn't just the wrestling of Merab Dvalishvili, right? Like, that's what beat Henry Cejudo. Was like, he was a better wrestler than Henry Cejudo. But, like, the pace of Merab Dvalishvili, which granted is much better than Song Yadong's, or at least a little better, but like that pace wore Piotr Jan out so fast, especially because Piotr Jan is kind of a slow starter. And in a 3-round fight, if Song Yadong comes out and takes the first, because Piotr Jan A doesn't want it, and then B, Song Yadong pushes the pace, and I mean, his wrestling's looked improved. Like, look at how good he looked against Ricky Simone. And I pick Ricky Simone in that fight. And Song Yadong looked good in every aspect of that fight, including the wrestling. So, like, if he can bring that kind of fight to Piotr Jan, I think he could tire him out. And really, all he's got to win is the third round, because Piotr Jan it refuses to try to win the first round. Time and time again, he refuses to try to win the first round in a 3-round fight. And for me, between that and then the youth of Song Yadong and the fact that he's clearly getting better every time out, yeah, I think you got to like Song Yadong in that fight.
We're going to talk about someone in the main event who refuses to win the first few rounds of fights as well. Another slow starter. So yeah, we are both in on some plus money to begin. That's always fun. All right, before we move on, I think I should tell you about some of our lovely sponsors that are keeping us in your eye holes, in your ear holes. Hey, Gumby didn't do his typical YouTube plug at the starting. Make sure you follow us on YouTube. Speaking of eye holes, give us a subscribe there. If you're on there right now, you will see we have an ad up at this minute for Cut. Our friends here at Cut are a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. And social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the words are, you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. We like it that you can post custom bets on there. Like, the bosses are like personal bets on that. You can bet which one will get the most picks right this week, that type of thing. So Cut's got lots of fun stuff on their site or app. So make sure you download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T. And use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. All you got to do is pick between 2 and 5 players to build a pick'em entry. You pick whether they're going to go higher or lower on whatever stat you choose, and you can win 100 times your money. It's simple as that. Gumby and I are on there every day making picks for NBA Underdog articles. So you sign up today with promo code MMASGPN. Be like us. Get on there and get your first deposit. Double it up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdog.fantasy.com or find them in their app store. And don't forget to register with the promo code for us, MMASGPN, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org. All right, we will move along with a welterweight fight now. Gilbert Burns, the aforementioned, versus Jack Della Maddalena. One of the fights that Gumby was surprised on the odds on. All right, Burns, Dorino is the nickname. Gumby, famous nickname. Tell the people what it means if they don't know it.
Dorino means little tough, and that's because his big brother used to do jiu-jitsu under the nickname Duro Duro, which was like tough, tough, big tough guy, tough, tough. So he became little tough, and that's their third brother, not including Herbert, who just got, what did he just get, fire burns?
And he's, I think he's technically still in the UFC.
He's booked for a fight next week.
Next week or the week after.
I want to say he's fighting, like, does the name Bill Algeo make sense for him? Like, I feel like
I know the name. might I know be Bill the name. Algeo. All right, let's tell you about his brother, Gilbert. He's 22-6, 6 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, 15-6 in the UFC, 2-1 over his last 3, including losing his last fight. He's fight at lightweight, 2012 pro MMA debut. He's a multi-time world champion in grappling. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.02 strikes per minute, so it's pretty much a wash there. Better grappling stats than Della Maddalena, plus 145. Jack Della Maddalena, JDM, 16-2, 11 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 6-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in contender series, multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Inch height, 2 inches reach over Burns, 10 years younger than him, better striking stats, twice more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC and contender series opponents by plus 2.37 strikes per minute. He's at minus 237. He must be on a win streak that I forgot to tell you about. He's won all of his fights since his first two. So he's won 16 straight fights. He's not lost since May 2016. Okay, now it's over to you.
All right, so the important stuff first. Herbert Burns is actually fighting Julio Arce in Atlantic City on March 30th. So I know all of you guys were killing for that. Also, fun little fact, JDM's initials are actually GDM. Did you know that?
Oh, is his name not Jack?
It's Giacomo.
I did know that. That's right.
Giacomo
Della Maddalena. It's such a better name. Why
it's that? I don't know. Jack's a cool name too, but Giacomo. He'd be the only Giacomo.
Jack is a cool name. Don't get me wrong. I forgot. Yeah. Jack is a very, very cool name. Yeah.
So, all right, go ahead. With all that being said, I haven't ever picked against Jack Della Maddalena, and I don't plan on starting. I would say with this one, it's a dog or pass spot in terms of batting, because this is a big step up for Jack Della Maddalena, right? Like, he's not fighting. He's not out there fighting the Randy Browns of the world anymore. You know, like, this is the legitimate step forward for him. And, you know, in most cases, if you told me this is pick 'em or even down at like negative 130, I'd say, sure, you can go from fighting Kevin Holland to fighting Gilbert Burns, and I might still be interested at negative 130. But that jump from Kevin Holland to Gilbert Burns, I mean, what did you just say? Negative 237 is what I'm getting on him.
For
Giacomo.
For Giacomo, minus 150. It's a good number.
Oh, 150. Sorry, I thought you said negative up in the 200s. Okay, so it's still negative 150. So like, if that came down a little bit, I might be interested in him. But like, this feels like it should be an even money fight based on his resume and stuff like that. So I'm going to say dog or pass here. But officially, as for terms of my pick, I've never picked against Jack Della Maddalena. Don't plan on starting now. Give me Jack Della Maddalena.
Yeah, me too. Give me Jack as well. Shun Sheehan on Severe MMA had a good point. Burns is always in people's corners. Like almost every fight night, you see him coaching people. How much time is he spending actually training himself and getting prepared for the fight? Which is
And that might be true, but I will also say this too about Gilbert Burns in terms of like other things to not like about him in this fight. He gets hit. Bro, like he got hit in the Khamzat fight, and Khamzat's a not a great boxer. You know, that's what turned off his lights against Usman. You know, it wasn't the wrestling of Usman. It was the right hand of Usman. So, like, he gets hit by good strikers. His path to victory is clear here. You know, don't be on the feet for more than 6 seconds.
Yes. Yeah. Jack Giacomo Della Maddalena is definitely the pick for me here as well. Not definitely. It is the pick, though. Should be a interesting fight, and we'll see if the youngster takes the next step up. All right, we're sticking with welterweight. Kevin Holland versus Michael Page. We'll tell you about the newcomer, Michael Venom Page, a.k.a. MVP. 21-2, 13 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once. This is his UFC debut. He's won 7 of his last 8, including winning his last fight via TKO. He's not fought since March of 2023, so he's been out about a year. He went 17-2 in Bellator. He used to fight up at middleweight, 2012 pro MMA debut, 2-0 as a boxer. He's a multi-time world champion in kickboxing, 0-1 in bare-knuckle fighting, better striking stats, more active landing strikes, and better grappling stats than Holland. I don't know where they're getting these stats from for Page, but they did have stats for him on UFCstats.com. Whatever stats they are, he's outstruck his opponents by 4.08 strikes per minute. He's at plus 114. Holland, trailblazer, 25-10 with 1 no contest, 14 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 3 times. 12-7 with 1 no contest in the UFC, 2-1 over his last 3, 2-3 over his last 5. Lost his last fight. He's fight at middleweight as well. 1-0 contender series, 1-0 in Bellator, multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsacademypodcast.com/store. Missed weight a couple times, or actually once. Missed weight once at welterweight, so keep that in mind. 2-1 as a kickboxer, 1 inch of height, 2 inches reach over Page, 5 years younger. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.17 strikes per minute. He's at minus 130. Give me the dog. I'm going with Michael Venom Page here. I don't trust Kevin Holland. I don't trust that he's going to grapple, which probably should be what he does here. I can see him going, saying, bro, let's just fight. Let's just strike, in which case he's going to get his head knocked out or caved in. I believe MVP was the one that caved in Cyborg's head, correct?
He did.
Remember that?
He
did do that. Horrendous thing.
Yeah. Pretty gross.
he's well past his prime now. MVP. He is older. It's not prime MVP, but I think this is a good matchup for him. I think Holland's dumb enough to strike with him. So give me Page.
You know, I think I might buck that fact that I don't know if this is the prime version of him anymore. Cause like, I mean, look at his recent results. It seems like the results are getting better. You know, you want to go back, you know, he's only lost twice in his career. You go back to that loss to Douglas Lima when he was, he got KO'd. He got like that, like weird leg kick, then uppercut combo, you know, real sick win by Douglas Lima. Then they fought again, you know, 2 years later, and Page got the better of him on the feet and did better at stuff in the takedowns. And then he picked up a second loss, which was a loss to Logan Storley. But like that loss was mostly Storley shooting takedowns and not really doing much with him, to the point where like he got like 100 takedowns in like 20 minutes of top control time, and it was still a split decision. And then out there, you know, around those fights, he's blasting guys like Derek Anderson, and he's beating Goti Yamaguchi, and like he's getting stoppages against all kinds of guys. He still, to me, has that striking prowess that makes me really like him. I would worry about him if he was fighting any of the grapplers in this welterweight division. Like, don't give me him versus Colby Covington. Don't give me him versus, you know, Bilal Muhammad. Like, don't give me Michael Page against any of those guys, because he was never the person to beat those guys. But I don't think he's any worse on the feet now than he was way back when. And I think that's kind of all he needs to beat Kevin Holland here. Like, he's a better kickboxer than a Kevin Holland. It will just come down to whether or not Kevin Holland has the game plan to wrestle, and then also the ability to execute it. Cause like Douglas Lima couldn't, and granted, it's a little bit of a past prime Douglas Lima, but if Douglas Lima couldn't rinse and repeat that formula and win that fight, could Kevin Holland? I don't know. You know, like maybe I'm just a little lower on Kevin Holland than most people.
And plus Page is, spend a whole career with people trying to take him down, because you know you don't want to strike with this guy. So yeah, I think I was surprised to see him a underdog here, and I'm even more surprised that Gumby's actually heaping praise on someone that fought in Bellator extensively too. So strange things are happening, and he picked Macy Barber. So yeah,
this is a bad week for me.
The times, they are changing. All right. Let's move on to the co-main event, lightweight fight, Dustin Poirier versus Benoit Saint-Denis, our boy, Benoit. But I'm not going to tell you about him first, because as we mentioned, he is the underdog. He is a massive favorite here. We can talk about the diamond first. 29-8 with one no contest, 14 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 3 times, 21-7 with one no contest in the UFC. Loss, win, loss. Got knocked out in his last fight. That is, that's a key thing right there. Used to fight down at featherweight. 1-1 in WEC. WEC never died. I don't remember him in WEC. Do you remember watching him there when it was happening, Gumby?
I think he only fought once, if I'm not mistaken, in WEC, or twice. It's not like, yeah, he was there for a really long time. Twice.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think of him as a WEC fighter, but nonetheless, he did fight there. Which means he's old, basically. A 2009 pro MMA debut. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.19 strikes per minute, plus 190. Wild. Benoit Saint-Denis, God of War. 13-1 with one no contest, 4 knockouts, 9 submissions. So he's finished everyone. He's never been finished in a fight himself. 5-1 in the UFC. He dropped his short notice debut up a weight class, and he's won 5 straight since then. He's not lost since that fight I was talking about, October 2021. He's fought at welterweight and middleweight. Regional champion, 2 inches height, 1 inch reach over Poirier, 6 years younger. Better grappling stats than Poirier. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.33 strikes per minute, minus 205. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But we've talked about that enough, I guess. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing I get about Jack Della Maddalena. I'm going to double down on my breakdown there and say, look, I can't take a guy in Benoit Saint-Denis who went from knocking out Matt Frivola to fighting Dustin Poirier at negative 205 and confidently say, yes, this is a good line to play, because it's just not like, I'm going to say, I think Benoit Saint-Denis wins this fight from the eye test. I think his wrestling holds up and adds a dimension that Poirier is not going to like. I don't like that Poirier has been knocked out recently, and Benoit Saint-Denis has clearly got the abilities to put his lights out. Mm-hmm. I don't like that Benoit Saint-Denis is younger and has got the pace. So like all of those things lead me to say, yeah, pick Benoit Saint-Denis. I love him in this one. You know, you want to throw him in a daily fantasy lineup or pick his takedowns on Underdog or like anything like that. Like, by all means, I just can't get behind a money line that says negative 205 on a guy who's never fought anybody tougher than Matt Frivola. And now he's fighting, you know, not one of the greatest guys ever in the division, but a stalwart of the top of the division, mm-hmm. if I may.
Good word. Yep.
Yeah. Like Dustin Poirier has been a guy who's been there forever. And now you're telling me Benoit Saint-Denis is ready to crack that division. And I think he is. I think he's ready to crack into the top 5 and be a legitimate guy in the UFC lightweight division. But just like at negative 205, like you're telling me he's got that kind of a chance against the guy who's been that good for that long. Man, I don't like the number at all, but I do think all of the skills hold up for Saint-Denis here. I think his takedowns, I think the way he mixes his game, I think the fact that Poirier can get his bell rung. I'm going BSD. Haven't ever picked against him. Won't today.
Yeah. Did you pick him in his debut?
I did, against Elizu Zaleski Joe Santos. I was wrong.
Did I? I probably didn't, no, I assume.
You did not. You called me an idiot. And I was like,
I don't think I called you an idiot.
I think you did. I'll see if I can pull the quote. At the end of the day, I was like, I know it didn't look good, but he's tough. And it was up a weight class on 5 days notice. And I was like, believe in him. And then I kept believing in him and have not been wrong since. I think he's one of 3 guys I've never picked against, along with Jack Della Maddalena and Alexander Volkanovski, who I've still never picked against.
Yeah, he won me over definitely with that fight, how tough he was and stuff. So yeah, he's my pick as well. But yeah, I'm not going anywhere near betting this with real money. It's a huge step up. I'm glad he's getting it. I probably would rather if he had one more fight before a step up this high. But hey. This is what we've been asking for.
You mean like a Rafael Fiziev?
Sure.
Like that guy, for like in between Frivola, because Frivola was the last one, right? I'm not jumping the gun on this, right? Like that's who he fought last.
Let me see.
Or was there one more guy?
I'll tell you who he's fought, and this will really lay clear step up. Probably the toughest guy he's fought was Elizu Zaleski Dos Santos, up a weight class, the fight that he actually lost. And then he fought Nicholas Stolze. And then it's like, Gabriel Miranda, Ishmael Bonfim, Thiago Moises, Matt Frivola. Yeah.
Yeah. So Matt Frivola is the tough. So you're going Matt Frivola to Dustin Poirier with no stop it, you know, Matthews Gamra, RDA, you know, Rafael Fiziev. Like those are the stops that you usually get in between. So like, look, I'm pumped he's getting the shot. I'm pumped that like anybody in the top five agreed to fight anybody outside of the top five, that's cool. But at the same time, like, you can't touch that at negative 205 with that kind of jump.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what actually we were asking. This is the exact weight class we were asking for this to happen. Lightweight. Yeah. We wanted people to, some of the big name guys to take on some of the up and comers, and it's actually happening. So surprising. This is there really any, well, now that he's underdog, I was going to, maybe there is upside. Is there any upside for Dustin Poirier taking this fight? But maybe now if he wins, it's not like BSD is a big name, but maybe he is because the number is wild on him. So
I think it's more just like he's got to start getting fights in if he wants another shot at the top. And you know, Chandler's clearly tied up. Connor's clearly tied up. You know, Oliveira, sure. Charlie Oliveira's tied up with a different fight. Armin Tsarukyan's tied up. You know, we got Islam Makhachev's on Ramadan. Like, he has to fight if he wants to make a run because it seems like he's got 1 foot out the door and 1 foot in a bottle of hot sauce.
Oh, there's a good line right there. All right. We'll move on to ad read for Champs. I wanted to leave that line hanging there for a bit, though. That was a good line. Champs is hosting a free March Madness bracket contest for a chance for $1,000. I said free. Yes. Plus, if you host your own March Madness pool on Champs, you'll get an extra free entry into the bracket contest. Tiebreakers are determined by who enters first. So make sure to register now so you don't miss out. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. I hope they come up with a graphic for that soon so you don't watch me reading the ad read off my phone. Poorly reading it, may I add. All right, Hall of Fame bets. There's, if you're on YouTube, you'll see Hall of Fame bets is there now, not my ugly mug. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. You can enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bet's revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. So we're giving you free stuff. We're giving you half off. We are, which is wonderful. Us and our sponsors, of course. All right, main event time. Bantamweight Championship of the World. Sean O'Malley, the champ, versus Marlon Vera. Vera first. Cheeto Vera is a nickname. 23-8-1. 8 knockouts, 10 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 15-7 in the UFC, 5-1 over his last 6. He won his last fight. So he's getting a title fight based off of a decision victory over Pedro Munhoz. Just thought I'd put that out there. The real reason he's getting a title fight, he TKO'd Sugar Sean back in August of 2020. Very used fight at featherweight, 1-0 in the Ultimate Fighter, 2010 pro MMA debut. Better grappling stats than O'Malley. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.79 strikes per minute, plus 240. Sugar Sean O'Malley, 17-1 with 1 no contest, 12 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once by the Mr. Cheeto Vera. 9-1 with 1 no contest in the UFC, and he's the champion of the world. He's won 2 straight, and he's gone 5-0-1 over his last 6. Won his last fight via TKO for the championship. He has not lost since the fight against Vera, which was August 2020. 1-0 contender series, used to fight at flyweight, which is crazy because he's huge for bantamweight. Even was regional champion, 1-0 as a pro boxer, 3 inches height, 2 inches of reach over Vera, 2 years younger, better striking stats, more active landing strikes, and he's outstruck his UFC opponents by 3.74 strikes per minute, minus 275. Maybe the most interesting thing on O'Malley that I didn't mention in the resume, he's from Montana. He's not the type of guy you would say, hey, that guy's from Montana, right?
Just outside of Helena.
Yes. I've never been to Montana, but he's not the type of guy I would picture to be the typical person from Montana, or at least stereotypical person from Montana, right?
Yeah, I don't know anybody from Montana, so I don't know what the stereotype is from Montana.
Maybe they have peak hair. Maybe who's to say?
Yeah, I know everybody from Massachusetts is supposed to be a jerk. So like that's what I walk around knowing my state to be. I wonder if Montana has an MO. I don't know. But I also do know he lived there until he was like 18 or 16, 17, 18 somewhere. And then he was like, I got to go train it to be a MMA killer, and was like, oh, yep. The MMA lab, it seems like the best place to do that.
Yeah, he picked a good spot there. He's my pick here as well in this fight. Normally, I'm going against the trend. and the stats bear it out that you should take the winner in the original fight. You should take them in the rematch, but things I think have changed since then. I think Vera's pretty much the same fighter.
I think he's 100% the same fighter.
Yeah. All right. There you go. I was hedging, but all right. Gumby's backed me up. Same fighter. O'Malley is not the same fighter. He's the young guy who's getting better. Say all you want about, you know, is outside of the cage antics, but extremely well coached, and it sounds like he's an extremely hard worker and a guy who takes this very seriously. So, you know, don't judge a book by its cover, perhaps, is what I'm trying to say here. But yeah, I think O'Malley takes care of Vera, especially with Vera giving up rounds, as he will. He tends to win rounds by getting a couple hard shots in on a guy after being peppered in a round. That's not something you want to do with O'Malley, because O'Malley will turn your lights out if you let him touch you, which Vera does. So give me the better striker, the longer striker, the more explosive striker, the younger fighter, the current champ, Sean O'Malley.
Yeah, and I think the thing that has gotten the best about O'Malley, because, right, you hinted at the fact that Marlon Vera doesn't seem to have gotten all that much better, mm-hmm. and Sugar has clearly gotten much better. The piece that's gotten much better for me is, A, his ankles. It seems like he cuts angles better than he ever has, and that was already a strength for him. But in mm-hmm. the Aljamain Sterling fight, it really stood out how he was able to get where he needed to be. And then B, his ability to sort of play the cerebral aspect of the game and draw out what he needs his opponent to do. Because he set a trap for Aljamain Sterling. He made him feel comfortable in there. And then as soon as Aljamain Sterling was like, man, I can do whatever I want in here, he turned his lights off. And to your point, that's kind of how Chito Vera fights, right? It's like Chito Vera takes in information, is like, okay, now I've got it. And he explodes mm-hmm. for something big. And that's when Sean O'Malley gets you. Because while you're downloading in that information, Sean O'Malley is picking what you download and showing you the things that he wants you to see. He's showing you all the pieces of his game that he wants you to see and he wants you to make decisions on. And then when you use that information, he uses it against you. And it's that aspect of the game of Sean O'Malley that I think plays so well here. And then to your point, the fact that Chito gives up rounds in the beginning, I think that's trouble, because then he has to press. And that's the worst thing you can do against Sean O'Malley.
So Sean O'Malley is the Chinese government. He decides what you download. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that.
But basically, right?
Maybe we can work that in as a nickname.
The Chinese government, Sean O'Malley. I was thinking, oh, he's the first champ from MMA Lab, but no, Benson Henderson, obviously they had MMA Lab. He's the first champ since Benson, or are they the only two champs you can think of off the top of your head?
I think so. They had a title fight with Lauren Murphy, although I don't know if she was still MMA Lab at the time when she got her title fight. She might have gone to that hybrid camp in Texas she's been doing. I can't remember if that was before or after, but you know, in general, yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it's just Benson and him.
Yep. Anyhow, good fight camp. He's very well coached and he fights like he's well coached. So, all right, we'll recap, but don't you go anywhere. We got some fancy plays for you. Gumby has to tell me where he's getting the props from too. Since we're not sponsored by a book, you actually can tell me. O'Malley, Saint-Denis, Page, Della Maddalena, and Song. Yes, we are all on the same fighters. And yes, we are both in on two dogs, which is nice as well. All right, locks, dogs, props, parlays, all that fun
stuff. I'll start with the lock, and I'll also tell you that a lot of the ones I found today came off of Bet Online. They post stuff super early.
Yeah, they always do. That's right. You can always
get the regional stuff. The regional stuff for LFA just came out too, and good numbers out there. I'll start here. I'm gonna deep sigh here first.
Oh no, you're saying Macy Barber, aren't you?
I'm gonna lock Macy Barber.
No way.
It's the coldest day in hell today, but I'm gonna lock Macy Barber. I think she's got so many advantages over Kayson Sermonara here. I don't see a way she loses this fight, and it's one of the best value lines I see out there. So -200, Macy Barber is my lock.
That is a big, big, this is a crazy sad day. All right. I like that pick as well. Not crazy, but line. Let's get a better line. I'm going to give you Michelle Paella, AKA Michael Pereira at minus 148 against Michael Oleksychuk. And if you want to know more about both those fights, check out yesterday's episode.
Yeah, I like Paeta in that fight too. I mentioned there's a whole bunch of different ways he's going to show up a little bit later, you'll find. Dog of the week, I'm going to take Jilton Almeida. I know he's barely a dog here at plus 100. And in fact, by the time this hits your ears, who knows if he'll even be a dog at that time. But the fact that I'm getting Jilton Almeida dog money, I can't refuse that. So give me Jilton here.
I will take MVP. Michael Venom Page is my dog, plus 114.
Oh, so you went a whole 14 higher.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not a coward.
After calling me a coward, he stepped it up one centimeter. Congrats.
Exactly. Oh, Canadian measurements. Centimeter. Good job.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
We're bigger down here with the inches, so I need to pick a measurement that was smaller. 2.56. Did you know that? 2.56 centimeters and an inch.
Oh, no, I'm not good with that. I'm good with miles, 0.6 and all that, so miles to kilometers. But yeah, no, I didn't know that one.
All right. Yeah. So my prop of the week, it's gone off the rails. My prop of the week. I'm going to take the main event. I'm going to take Chito Vera versus Sean O'Malley. And I'm going to say the under on the total rounds. So the total rounds are listed at 4.5. I think this ends inside the distance, and you can get plus 125 on it under 4.5. We mentioned the knockout power of Sean O'Malley. I mean, even if you like, Chito Vera in this fight, there's he stopped Sean O'Malley in the last fight, right? By just getting after him. I don't imagine this hits the judges' scorecards. I think this ends inside. So, give me under 4.5 rounds at plus 125.
All right. I got to find a prop here. Almabayev, I like via submission, plus 150. There we go. Almabayev submitting CJ Vergara, plus 150.
I like that. I actually looked at that. So, but for you to do that on the fly, impressive.
Well, I am impressive. I'm a multitasker here. All right. Gumby, Hungry Man Jong, super fan parlay, a 2-fight parlay that will win you mucho, mucho money when it hits. Go ahead.
So for UFC 299, I figured I got to blow this one out of the water. So I've been doing some ones that were barely plus 100. We've been hitting about half of it, but for the big event, I decided we're gonna just go giant props here, and feel free to play either one of these on their own, because I actually think there's tons of value on both of them on their own. Otherwise I wouldn't put them in here, but they're fun when we talk about them together in a giant parlay. So first one I'm gonna do, Michel Pereira by submission, because I think he's sneaky good in the wrestling. Oleksychuk's been subbed a billion times. Michel Pereira by submission is plus 600. And I think there's tons of value in that prop right there. And I'm going to pair it together with your underdog of the week, Michael Venom Page, by KO.
I think it's going to happen. Yep.
I mean, he goes out and finishes people, right? Whether it's by leg kick or by flying knee or whatever he finishes people by, he finishes people. Plus 425 for him by knockout, which kind of shocked me when I saw it. So you pair Michael Venom Page by knockout and Michel Pereira by submission together, you're going to get plus 3575.
No, 3575. That is the biggest one you've ever offered people, correct?
I think there was a crazier one in there, but this one,
really?
this one's
going to hit though.
Yeah, I feel it. I feel it in my bones.
Hey, yeah, sub Page knockout. Boom. Wow. 35-35. That's gonna be an interesting one. Sprinkle some money on that. All right. We're out of here until Sunday. We're gonna count our money and we're gonna talk about how that bet hit. And we're all gonna be chuckling and counting our money come Sunday. In the meantime, Discord's place to be, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter is SGP and MMA. Gumby Vreeland, Jeff Fox Writer. They're the handles on that on Instagram as well. Jeff Fox Writer there. YouTube, obviously, subscribe. Watch, even if you like, even better, subscribe and watch. Subscribe to my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Subscribe, enter my pick'em contest for free for this coming weekend's UFC event. Listen to Gumby's Top Turtle podcast this week. It doesn't matter if there's no one from UFC 299 on it. It's a great episode with great fighters, interesting interviews, and fighters with great names, such as Say the name.
Jakub Kashuba, who is fighting on PFL Europe, which is happening the day of this being released, Thursday. And then I also talked to Chara Lampros Grigoru, who is going to be fighting at UFC Vegas 88.
Killer names, right?
Yeah, killer names, probably, great interviews, fun accents. Yep. Yeah, it's everything you want.
Probably your best episode for names. I don't think you've had two names that good on an episode, right?
Nah, probably not. I had to practice Kashuba because that's a tough one.
Yeah. You're okay with the Greek one, but Kashuba you had difficulty with, eh?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
All right, we're out of here. Once Gumby says goodbye, then we're out of here.
All right, I'm Daniel Gumby Freeland. He's Jeff, the Chinese government fox, and we will see you on Sunday.